From Urbana, Illinois, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and New York City, New York, the National Broadcasting Company presents the College Quiz Bowl. Here transcribed is the All-American Quiz Game, which pits against each other the varsity scholars of two great American colleges in the College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, it's the University of Illinois, on the air from Urbana, Illinois, out to challenge the first four-time winners the Quiz Bowl has ever had, the varsity scholars from the University of Minnesota, broadcasting from Minneapolis. And here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Hello there, everybody. It's good to have you with us. Here we go with another intercollegiate battle of the brains. You know, it should be quite a fight because I hear from my spies out in the Illinois campus that they have an awfully sharp team, one that they feel will finally chase Minnesota clear out of the Quiz Bowl. So, let's go out to Urbana to meet the challengers. On hand to act as referee for Illinois is the man who helped Northwestern rack up three straight victories a few weeks ago, a Quiz Bowl veteran from NBC Chicago, Charles Chan. It's nice to have you back, Chan.
Well, it's certainly nice to be back, Alan. And from the looks of this Illinois team, I might be here to stay for a while. Now, here's the team which is out to stop that Minnesota streak.
Toby Margolis, Chicago, Illinois.
Marvin Out, Chicago, Illinois.
Bran is Vicky, Chicago, Illinois.
Charles Howell, Champaign, Illinois.
Illinois team. Now let's head north to Minneapolis, where Bob Boyle of station KSTP is with us this week to serve as Minnesota's referee. What's new in Minneapolis, Bob?
Well, Alan, only me, I'm happy to say. In fact, here in Murphy Hall, it's the same old team on deck for Minnesota, maybe 7 days brighter. In any case, they're determined to come up with win number five. Here they are to introduce themselves.
Tom Clayton, Winona, Minnesota.
Roger Feinstein, Pelham, New York.
Colleen Helgeson, Excelsior, Minnesota.
And Jack Davies, Coleraine, Minnesota.
Yay! Rah, rah! Go Birds!
Okay, that's the Minnesota team. Now that we've met both teams, Roger Tuttle, will you give us the rules for this battle of wits?
The quiz is set up to determine how much these varsity scholars know and how quickly they can call upon their knowledge. And so we have toss-up questions, and this is the way they work. Alan Ludden asks a question, and the first team to signal that has the answer gets a chance to answer. When Illinois signals, you'll hear... When Minnesota signals, you'll hear... And by means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here on the board in front of Alan and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. Now, if the team winning a chance at the toss-up question gives a wrong answer, the question then goes to the other team. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question. Each question is worth a designated number of points, and the team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and returns next week to defend its title in the College Quiz Bowl. Well, that's the way the game is played, so now let's play it.
And there goes the opening whistle, and here's the first toss-up question. May I tell you first that the winner of this toss-up question gets a chance at a 20-point bonus. Incidentally, this first toss-up one's a tricky one, so you got to think very carefully. Here we go. In Greek and Roman myth, the lowest dog in the world is that underworld character called Cerberus. I'm sorry. You rang your buzzer before... As a matter of fact, I hadn't asked the question yet, so I'm going to go ahead. Is that all right? I will complete the question. Now, don't signal until I have completed the question. Now, we have all agreed that the lowest dog in the world is that underworld character called Cerberus. Now, here comes the question. Tell us for 10 points the proper name of the highest dog in the universe. Minnesota.
Tom Clayton, I think, wants to try at that.
Okay, Tom.
Ursa Major, the Great Bear Constellation.
You didn't get it right, Tom. Can you take it, Illinois?
Charles Howell for Illinois.
This would be Cyrus.
All right. What's the nickname of Cyrus?
Canis. Canis Major, isn't it?
Well, he's in the constellation, Canis Major, and you're right. That's the dog star. The highest
Cyrus
dog in the universe.
Star.
Sirius, I think, is the way I called it. But I think you were right because he is in the constellation Canis Major. And Cerberus, of course, is that three-headed dog that guarded the entrance to Hades. Now, for getting that question, Chuck... You have given Minnesota, pardon me, Illinois, a chance at a 20-point bonus question. And the first one tonight is a very simple addition and subtraction problem. It's very simple, but you might need a pencil or paper to figure it out. So let's go. You're going to start with the number of the amendment which Susan B. Anthony fought for. And to that number, you should add the number of thieves associated with Alibaba. Now, subtract that sum from the number mentioned in the first line of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address and give us your numerical answer. Anybody on the Illinois team? Who's going to take it, Chan? Can you tell?
Well, let's see. They're all looking at each other's figures.
Oh, they are? Well, now let's get it.
Which one of you?
Who's looking at the cheerleader?
Fran is Vicky.
Fran, what's the answer?
28.
28, you're right for 20 points. Do you want to tell us quickly how you figured that out, Fran?
Pardon?
Tell us how you figured that.
Well, it was 19th Amendment, and there were 40 thieves.
Yeah.
And it was 47 years ago in the first line of the Gettysburg Address.
And so 59 from 87 gives you 28, and you got now 30 points. Okay, now we're coming to another toss-up question, and may I tell you both now that whoever gets this next toss-up question will have a chance at a 50-point bonus. So on your toes, here is the toss-up. For 10 points, who said the Battle of Waterloo was won on the playing fields of Eton, Minnesota?
Jack Davies had his hand up on that one.
Duke of Wellington.
Right for 10 points, Minnesota. You have a chance now, Minnesota, at a 50-point bonus question, a five-part question. This is the sad saga about the high cost of international living. Now, for 10 points each, you're to tell us what country you'd be in if, one, you had to pay a couple of guilders for a piece of cheese.
Holland.
Right for 10 points. Now, what country would you be in if it cost you over 1,000 dinars to watch the belly dancers in Skopje?
Greece or Turkey? Greece.
Here, but not quite. Yugoslavia.
Egypt.
Okay, here's another one. Now, what country would you be in if you shelled out a quizero for a cup of coffee? C-R-U-I-Z-E-R-O. For a cup of coffee. What country would you be in if you had to pay that for a cup of coffee?
Spain.
No.
All right.
Portugal.
Not quite. It's Brazil. All right. Tell me, what country would you be in if it cost you quite a few escudos for a ticket to the bullfight? What country would you be in if it cost you quite a few escudos for a ticket to the bullfight? Minnesota.
No, Mexico.
Portugal.
Right, Minnesota, for 10 points. Now, may I remind you that on a bonus question, the team may work as a team, and I'll take the correct answer when I hear it, as long as they're correcting each other. All right, you've got one more part to this question. What country would you be in if you paid 75 bolivars, B-O-L-I-V-A-R-S,
Bolivia,
for
Bolivia.
A margarita pearl?
Colombia or Bolivia?
Venezuela?
Paraguay. Venezuela. I heard Venezuela from Minnesota, and that's right for 10 points.
That was Roger Feinstein.
Okay, Roger, you saved the point there. Okay, now, before we move along to our next toss-up question, let's find out what the stakes are in this quiz game. Roger?
Each week, NBC will award to the school of the winning team a $500 gift to be administered by the college. Now, it may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive, dependable Whitnauer wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines-Whitnauer family of fine watches, since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character. Well, those are the stakes, Alan. Now with a score, Minnesota 40 points, Illinois 30 points, we go back to a toss-up question. And remember, the team answering it correctly gets a chance at a bonus question. Okay, Alan.
Okay, the score is very close. Now, I want to tell you, we're going to have a bonus question coming up worth 30 points, and this toss-up question happens to be a musical toss-up. You're going to get 10 points if you can tell us who wrote this music. You're to signal when you're ready to stop the music. Who wrote it? Minnesota.
Jack Davies.
Irving Berlin.
We got a little rhubarb there. I had one answer first from the team, so I've got to take the first answer on a toss-up. No conference on a toss-up question. Now, I'll have to take Colleen's answer as being Minnesota's answer, so it switches to Illinois.
What Fran Isbicki.
Fran?
Irving Berlin.
You're right for 10 points, Illinois. You got it kind of by default, but you got it. Okay, here we go. Here's a minute. Illinois, you want a chance at a 30-point bonus question, and this is a very interesting one. It has three parts. It's a total value of 30 points. You know, early this year, Prime Minister Churchill was invested with England's highest and oldest order of knighthood. Now, I want you for just 5 points to give us the title of this order. Anybody in the Illinois team? What was it?
Charles Howell.
This should be the Order of the Garter.
You're right, Chuck. You're right for 5 points. Now, you'll get 15 points for Illinois, anybody on the team, if you will tell us quickly the legend of the origin of the Order of the Garter. Do you know it? Anybody in Illinois?
Oh. Nope, we drew a blank, I think.
You drew a blank? Well, I'll have to quickly tell you that it was King Edward III who, on a very auspicious occasion back in 1346, when the Countess of Salisbury accidentally slipped her garter at a court ball, King Edward III very quickly and very gallantly diverted the attention of the surrounding guests from the embarrassed lady by binding the blue band around his own knee, saying as he did so, "On y soit qui me le pense." Now, if you can recognize that bad French, you'll get 10 more points if you can give me the King's English of whatever "on y soit qui me le pense" means. Can you give
Fran me? Fran Isbicki.
Fran?
Evil to him who evil thinks.
That's right for 10 points, Fran. Okay, let's go back to a toss-up. All right, here we go with a toss-up for 10 points. You are to name the Italian-speaking city to which the Russian foreign minister was recently invited. Illinois.
Marvin Knopf.
Could that be Trieste?
Can you take it, Minnesota?
There's puzzlement, but I think Jack Davies has an idea.
Try it, Jack.
Rome.
No, I'm sorry. It was Lugano, Switzerland. That was kind of tricky. It's an Italian-speaking city to which the Russian foreign minister was invited. The Russians refused this invitation to meet with the foreign ministers, as you remember, of France, the United States, and Great Britain. Okay, what's the score, Roger?
Well, the score on our blackboard stands Illinois, 55 points. Minnesota, 40 points with 16 minutes to go in the quiz bowl.
Okay, a 30-point bonus is coming up. Here is the toss-up question. In the Bible, Ruth says to her mother-in-law, "Whither thou goest, I will go." Now, what is the name of Ruth's mother-in-law? Minnesota.
Roger Feinstein.
Naomi.
Right for 10 points, Roger. Minnesota, you've now got a chance at a 30-point bonus question, three parts. Before I go along, may I say something here? I'd like to make a correction, a very important and embarrassing correction. Last week, in our effort to force me to pronounce again the apocalypse correctly, a word that I had mispronounced the previous week, we had a question about the last book in the New Testament. Now, although apocalypse is correct, I fail to accept the other name by which the last book is known, which is, of course, Revelations. It didn't affect the final score because it was Minnesota that gave us Revelations. However, may I say that I am very sorry for my error, and I certainly appreciate the interest that you listeners have shown in notifying me of my mistake. So I know that the last book of the Bible is known both as Revelations and Apocalypse. Okay, now, back to Minnesota with this bonus question they have just earned. It's a three-part bonus question, and the first part is worth 10 points. You're to complete the following quotations. Complete the following quotations, anybody on the Minnesota team. The curfew tolls the knell of parting day.
The lowing herd winds slowly o'er the lay.
Right. You know any more? Who was that, Roger?
Tom Clayton.
Tom, that's right, for 10 points. The rest of it, of course,
the
is...
The palm and homeward plods his weary way, leaving the world to darkness and to me.
That's right, and leaves the world of darkness and to me. Thomas Gray's elegy written in the country churchyard, 10 points of Minnesota. Now, you know, you could sing the answer to this next one if you like. It goes something like this, you're to complete it. Our feelings we with difficulty smother when constabulary duty to be done. Oh.
It's Gilbert and Sullivan.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you recognize that.
Could you read it once more?
Oh, I'd love to, because I like to say it. Our feelings we with difficulty smother when constabulary duties to be done. Don't you think I did that pretty well that last time?
Done I can't very
sing.
Well.
Nobody can sing it, huh? And the next line goes, I take one consideration with another. A policeman's lot is not a happy one. Gilbert and Sullivan's Pirates of Penzance. Okay, finish this quote, please, for 10 more points. For though from out our bourne of time and place the flood may bear me far.
Crossing the bar, but...
Finish the next...
I hope to meet my pilot face to face and I have crossed the bar.
Right for 10 points, Benny. Back to a toss-up question. Now, may I warn you here on this toss-up question, do not signal until you hear the question. You know, the Watch and Ward Society of Boston is well known for its activities in suppressing and censoring books which it considers offensive. Now, recently, the city fathers of a far less conservative city had occasion to censor the entertainment provided for visiting royalty. Now, for 10 points, give us the name of this city. Minnesota.
Jack Davies.
Hollywood, California. It was King Paul and Queen Frederica of Greece.
They censored the entertainment provided for them. Okay, Hollywood or Los Angeles, we'll accept that. Okay, you got 30-point bonus coming up for Minnesota. Here's another 3-part question. For 10 points each, I'm going to give you a sum of money, and you tell us the American territory purchased at this price. I'm going to give you only the price, you tell me the territory. First of all, $7,200,000.
Alaska.
Alaska for 10 points. Well, that was fast.
Teamwork by Jack Davies and Roger Feinstein.
They did a good job. All right. What part was this purchased from Russia, incidentally, in 1867. You probably knew that. Okay, now what American territory was bought for approximately $15 million?
Louisiana purchase.
No.
Yeah, got to accept the right one. Let him go. Louisiana purchased from France in 1803. All right, for 10 more points, what American territory was purchased for $10 million?
I think it would be the Gadsden Purchase.
You think right, Colleen. You think right. The Gadsden Purchase. You know where the Gadsden... Colleen, do you know what the Gadsden Purchase included? What land came with it?
Yes, it includes the southern portions of the territories of New Mexico and Arizona.
That's right. Bought from Mexico in 1853. Incidentally, Colleen, in Minnesota these days.
Oh, they're just fine, thank you. Singing beautifully.
Hold it, Alan. That's the halftime whistle, which calls for a one-minute timeout.
Okay, and in this 1 minute, I'd like to talk first minute for 30 minutes. 30 seconds, rather. I'd like to talk to you, Illinois. I'd like to talk to Fran Isbicki. I see you're a journalism major, Fran. I wonder if you'd tell us how the girls down on the Illinois campus feel about the Rose Bowl choice this year.
Well, I think we all feel a little bit sad about missing that trip out to the West Coast.
Were you planning to go?
Well, I myself wasn't going to go, no.
But a lot of the girls are going.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do they feel about the football team now?
Oh, we're still awfully proud of that big and handsome and fast football team.
Oh, are they handsome?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're
and
fast. So are they fast on the football field, that is?
Well, naturally.
Okay, what were you going to say, Stan? Were you saying something?
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, I see. Fran,
you're a ghost.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, then everybody's proud and still and very fond of their football team at Illinois, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now let's move up to Minneapolis, Minnesota for the next 30 seconds. Roger Feinstein, you know, we've had a lot of letters from listeners who wonder how a New York boy got way out in Minnesota. Could you tell us, Roger, how you happened to end up out there?
Well, after 2 years at a small Eastern men's college, I was a little bored, and I wanted to go to a great big Midwestern university.
You were bored, what, with a little men's college, or this the...
I guess so.
Did the co-educational aspect influence your decision at all?
It did a great deal.
Is it true, Roger, what I hear about those beautiful blondes in Minneapolis?
We have redheads here, too.
Oh, you have? Well, I don't want to influence you with your date tonight, but you did. You're having a good time out there, huh?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's wonderful to know, and I'm sure our listeners are happy to...
Okay, Alan, time to get back to the quiz. And with the score, Illinois, 55 points. Minnesota, 110 points. We have 9.5 minutes to go.
Okay, and here's a toss-up question that'll get you a chance at a 30-point music question, a 30-point bonus question coming up. Right, here is your toss-up. For 10 points, tell us. What are Ford Anglia, Stinger, Singer, SMX? Sorry, I wasn't kidding. I am awfully sorry. It was and Jawa Jupiter, was I going to say, those were English automobiles. You no doubt knew, but you didn't wait for me. Okay, here's another toss-up question. This is not the third degree, but how many degrees are there in a triangle? Illinois.
Charles Howell.
180 degrees in any triangle.
Oh, you're so right. You got a chance. Hey, Chuck, with that at a 30-point bonus. It's a musical bonus question worth 30 points. You'll get 10 points each time you identify the movie as we play the theme music written for it. First, what movie of suspense was accompanied by this music?
Spellbound.
Right for 10 points. Now tell me, what music... Here's music from a more current movie. Give us the name of this film.
story with three wants.
Right for 10 points. This is awfully easy. Now, the last in this series of booby themes should remind you of a film that is still playing theaters around the country.
It's Limelight.
Limelight theme by Charles Chaplin. Okay. What's the score, Roger?
Score right now. Illinois is climbing up, has 95 points against Minnesota's 110 points, and we have 8 minutes to go in tonight's college season.
Okay, here we go with a toss-up question who could lead you to a 40-point bonus question. Recently, here's your toss-up. Recently, a leading governmental figure said, in effect, "I'm tired," and gave up the premiership he had held for 6 years. For 10 points, who is he? Minnesota.
Jack Davies.
David Ben-Gurion of Israel.
Right, Jack, for 10 points. Okay, you got Jack a chance. Minnesota has a chance now at a 40-point bonus question. In the old days, there were no quick cures for upset stomachs and indigestion. Now, for 10 points each, you to identify the following characters of fact and fiction who ate or drank something that didn't agree with them. Here's one. She ate a poisoned apple and took an extended nap.
Snow White.
Snow White for 10 points. Here's another one. He ate eels and eel broth and presently died. Oh.
Oh, darn.
Colleen is thinking hard.
Think hard, Colleen. You know this. I've got it. Time's up. It's a ballad, Lord Randall, my son. Lord Randall was the one who ate the eels. Okay, here's one. They ate the fruit and flowers of a certain tree and forgot to go home.
The men in Ulysses, the lotus eaters.
That's right. Tennyson's lotus eaters. Ulysses, I would have accepted Odysseus. Okay, here's another chance at 10 more points. He was condemned to death and drank hemlock.
Socrates.
Socrates for 10 points. What's the score, Roger?
Well, Minnesota, the Gophers are now ahead 150, but the Fighting Illini are up there with 95 points, and we have 6 minutes to go.
Okay, a 20-point bonus coming up. Here is your toss-up question. Can you tell us for 10 points the name of the Boston orator who got top billing the day that Lincoln made his Gettysburg Address? Minnesota.
Colleen Helgeson.
Edward Everett.
Right, Colleen. Right for 10 points. I didn't think you'd get that. You really amazed me. Edward Everett was considered the top orator of his day, and he delivered the main address at Gettysburg. Colleen, how did you know that?
Well, I learned it in school.
I get that. Okay, here's your 20-point bonus that you earned from Minnesota by reason of answering that. The liner Gothic, the airliner Canopus, and Captain Anthony G. Lorraine all made news in a headline story this week. Now, for 20 points, what was this story?
They're carrying Queen Elizabeth around the world.
That's right. That's the story. Queen Elizabeth round the trip tour, around the world tour. The liner Gothic and the Canopus is the plane piloted by Captain Lorraine. Okay, you got 20 points for that. Here we go with a toss-up question. Are you ready? Do not signal till you're ready till I answer the question. Captain Bligh and his men were forced to row 3,618 miles from an open sea to a point near Java. Now, for 10 points, tell us why. Minnesota.
Roger Feinstein.
There was mutiny on the Bounty.
There was mutiny on the Bounty. We got 2,000. Okay, you got for that a 35-point bonus, Minnesota. It's a cast of characters. Now, for 5 points each, you're to tell us from what play they came. First of all, Orsina, Duke of Illyria, in love with Viola.
Twelfth Night.
Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. All right, Sally Middleton, a romantic young actress. Sally Middleton, a young romantic young actress.
The actress?
Yeah. No, not the actress, sorry. This is the play. It's John Van Druten's Voice of the Turtle. All right, here's another character. What play does she come from? Mrs. Alving, a domineering mother in a controversial drama. What play? Quickly. You know.
She had two sons.
Nope. Okay, it was Ibsen's Ghost. One son was the play. Jason, a victim of a ferocious woman in a great poetic tragedy.
Medea
by Euripides. All right. Mr. Darling, Wendy's father.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan. Ensign Pulver, a man without a woman who didn't like it at all.
Mr. Roberts.
Mr. Roberts. Okay, what's the score, Roger?
Minnesota now has 210 points to Illinois' 95 points, and we have 3.5 minutes to go in tonight's edition. College quiz bowl.
Okay, here we go. Now we're after the facts, just the facts of this toss-up question. For the music you're about to hear, tell us, who's going for a ride? Signal when ready. Illinois.
Ride of the Valkyries.
Ride
of the Valkyries.
Who is taking the ride?
Toby Margolis.
Brunhilde?
Okay, no. The eight Valkyrie daughters of the god Votan. You're right for 10 points, Illinois, and you got a chance at a 20-point bonus. A young London School of Economics professor. Anybody in Illinois? Answer this. A young London School of Economics professor and an aging Supreme Court justice maintained a steady correspondence for almost 20 years. Now, for 20 points, who were these two men?
Toby Margolis.
Oscar Wendell Holmes was one.
Right. Oliver Wendell Holmes.
Oliver Wendell Holmes.
Yeah. And who was the London School of Economics professor? Very famous correspondent. Anybody in Illinois? Well, we're referring, of course, to the Lasky-Holmes letters. Yeah. Howard Lasky, British economist. Okay, here we go back to a toss-up question. On your toes, everybody. In 1844, a modest man sent a message from a U.S. Supreme Court room to Baltimore, Maryland. Now, for 10 points, you'll get 10 points if you can either quote the modest message or name the modest man. Minnesota.
Jack Davies. What hath God wrought?
That's the message. For 10 points, you got it, Minnesota. You know the man. Who sent that, Jack Davies? Who sent that message?
Alexander Graham Bell or his assistant.
You got the message, but not the man, but you still got it. It was SFB Morse. That was the first message to be sent by inventor Morse on the first telegraph line. Well, you got the part. Well, you got one of it. You got the bonus question coming up here worth 20 points. Robert Browning's poem, The Guardian Angel, ends with the lines, "How rolls the Wairoa at your world's far end? This is Acona, yonder is the sea." Now, you'll get 10 points if you can tell us where the river Wairoa is, and you'll get 10 more points if you locate the city Acona. Anybody on Minnesota's team? Where is Wairoa? Where is Acona?
Could you Acona is in Italy.
Acona is in Italy for 10 points on the Adriatic. That's right. Now, where is the river Wairoa? Wairoa, W-A-I-R-O-A. Anybody? All right, time's up. It's in New Zealand. Okay, we go back to a toss-up question. Are you ready? For 10 points, name the man who was this week named manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers for 1954. Okay, I'll accept that. Illinois, you got it first.
All right. Francis Isbicki.
Fran?
Walter Austin.
Walter Austin, who previously managed the Montreal team. Okay, here we go with it. You got a 25-point bonus, Illinois, by getting that toss-up. Is that all right? Okay, here we go. Well, your bonus question, Illinois, is, for many years, CARE Incorporated has sent relief messages all over the world. Now, for 25 points, can you tell us what the letters C-A-R-E stand for? Anybody in Illinois? For 25
Children,
points?
The first one. Third one is relief.
Not necessarily right with that.
Children's aid and relief.
No, I tell you, that's a very unusual thing. You don't know. It's cooperative for American remittances to everywhere. I got to tell her. Okay.
Alan, time's up. The game's over for this week. And the final score in the College Quiz Bowl tonight is 115 points for Illinois and 230 points for the University of Minnesota, a five-time winner. Each member of the Illinois team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitnauer wristwatch. A distinguished member of the Longines Whitnauer family of fine watches. Since 1866, makers of watches of the highest character. While fielding the winning team tonight, the University of Minnesota will receive a $500 gift to be administered by the college. Three scholars from Minnesota will return next week to compete in this new All-American quiz game with the varsity scholars of New York University. Now here once again is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Well, may I congratulate the five-time winner of the Minneapolis, Minnesota, University of Minnesota team. And I want to say thanks to the wonderful team from Illinois, Toby Margolis, Marvin Knopp,
Chuck Howell, and Fran Isbicki. You did a great job. Now, in the weeks to come, we're going to have varsity scholars from Notre Dame University, the University of Georgia, Brown University, and other outstanding colleges and universities all over the nation. So won't you be with us again next week and every week for an exciting quiz game here in the College Quiz Bowl. This is Alan Ludden now saying, see you tomorrow on weekend, and so long, everybody.
Your referees tonight were, for Illinois, Charles Chan of NBC Chicago, and for Minnesota, Bob Boyle of station KSTP in Minneapolis. College Quiz Bowl is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production, originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed, directed by Ken McGregor. This is Roger Tuttle speaking. This is...